Okay, welcome to take two of the Think Talk interview, which will be a weekly interview with Eddie Walls. Today, because of some technical issues with my internet, we're going to keep this pretty short. Eddie's going to give us his five best plays, even though he started handicapping these plays about 10 months ago, usually. And the line's been up for a couple of weeks. There are some plays he really likes that still has value. And we're going to start with play one. Eddie's the hardest working guy I know, by the way, in almost any sport. He puts so much time and effort into the college football season. And I'm very fortunate that I get to see some of his work before the season starts. So I try to pick up basic knowledge, but I can never be close to as prepared as Eddie. And usually I just try to hear what he's doing and then try to follow as best I can. Eddie, game one for week one of college football.
It would be 135, 136, Temple, Rutgers, over 51. A lot of moving parts here. A lot of people don't know this, but Temple is basically in a full-blown rebuild right now, specifically on defense. They don't have a lot of quality starting coming back whatsoever. Rutgers played with a faster tempo last year with their offensive coordinator. They're known as more of a defensive team because of their coach, but Temple has something on offense that a lot of people probably don't realize. A four-star kid from Georgia really didn't get a fair shake there. He's got a lot of talent. They got two running backs, one four-star from Florida and then another one from Illinois, who was an all-conference back, Bonner. I made this game around 55. If you can grab a 51, I imagine it closes pretty close to my number. There's some 51 and a halfs out there. I'm okay with the 51 and a half, but there's a 50 and a half at circa 51, pretty much painted at Jazz and Bet Online. So I like that over.
Let me ask you one question.
Sure.
I interrupt everybody. The 50 and a half, the lowest lines at Circa, does that concern you any? That Circa's not a highest line, which I'd rather see, I think.
No, not really. I mean, I think that they kind of, you know, marched their own drum. They opened at 48 and a half and it got hammered. There's a little bit of weather, so I guess that is a concern for some people, but it's not supposed to be that bad whatsoever. Chris is at 51 and a half, Pinnacle's at 51 and a half, shaded to the over at minus 12. I don't know. I don't really read too much into Circa, if you want me to be honest with you. I think they're a great book. Absolutely. But they take sharp action and they take, you know, for lower limits. They're still not at full limits yet. So we'll see.
Okay. Thanks for that. And we'll go to game two. Go.
Game two would be 143, Tennessee Bowling Green. I like the first half over in this game at 31 and a half. You're gonna pay some vig for this, but this is kind of a steal. Tennessee has a new head coach. And Heupel at UCF, he was the third highest pace per play guy the last 5 years, or last 3 years, I'm sorry. And on the other side, Bowling Green has absolutely no defense whatsoever. The total's up to 61 and a half, or 60 and 61, 60 and a half for the full game. I have no idea why this first half line is that low. I think Tennessee could probably score every single time they have the ball and do it rather quickly. I don't expect many points from Bowling Green whatsoever, but I'm not comfortable laying 35 at this point. It opened 32 and a half. I know a lot of people grabbed that. Tennessee doesn't have a lot on defense, so you might get a touchdown from Bowling Green, which would be, you know, great. Either laying it in the first half or playing over. I chose to play over because the number was so advantageous. I think that's a really, really solid play.
And we've seen in some of these games already that the second half in a blowout is it will run up the middle and not, you know, give everybody some experience because this game is already over, and those second halves went pretty under Fresno.
Yeah,
someone else did
the UCLA.
UCLA, they UCLA, I think the last quarter was 0-0.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes there's some courtesy. We're playing a team we know we can kill, and we're killing them, so we'll let our weakest players run up the middle and just see if it's almost like the other team is the more favored to score, but we also saw New Mexico State was not possible to score, but
right.
But even that second half was very, very low, if any scoring in that.
Right, very little. Yeah.
So we're avoiding that, and we're trusting Tennessee to go full tilt in the first half because it's the first game of their season, so they want to get, you know, their best players in for at least half the game.
Also, it's the first game that they're allowed to have full capacity fans, and I imagine that that's going to play in a lot of these week ones. Coaches are probably going to be pretty aggressive in beating up their opponents and kind of showing what they got in some of these blowout kind of things. But at the same time, you don't want to get anybody hurt. So you'll probably see a lot of runs up the middle and, you know, trying to take time off the clock. Even with Tennessee, though, I mean, this Heupel guy, I mean, he does like to play a fast pace, and he has no problem really, really blowing out people. I see why people laid the big number. And that's definitely an option. I just am more comfortable if you're going to lay that kind of number doing it in the first half early in the season.
Okay, I agree. That's part of my theory of in the second half of the season, a lot of competitive games, the second half goes over and not the first. Have you noticed that? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, in these bigger, you always want to be looking whenever you're laying, you know, like over 21 points or something like that. I think it's always probably a better bet in the first half in some of these mismatches. You don't want late touchdowns where one team isn't trying and the other team is, you know, one team still trying because they, you know, they're putting their starters out there. I don't think that Bowling Green has the talent to play second, you know, a second half with second stringers. They do have to get their first stringers quality possessions and stuff like that. So Tennessee, you know, you might be on your third string quarterback late in the game, up 35. That's never a comfortable feeling.
And running the ball and not caring about.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, you know, if you're up 35, you really don't have to make much more of a point. But in this instance, I could see them, you know, going full tilt for the full game to show off because they, you know, they fired their coach and they want new energy and they lost a lot of players to the transfer. They're probably out to make, you know, probably out to make a point in week one for sure.
Cool.
Game three would be 215, BYU and Arizona. Now we have something going on here where I like the under at four, even at 54.5. I bet this much earlier. I got a much better number than this, but it doesn't matter. I made this game around 49 or 50. BYU is going to have a little bit of value early in the season because last year they had an NFL quarterback, NFL offensive line, and they really ran up scores at times. But this is a very defensive-minded head coach, and he lost his offensive coordinator. He lost his quarterback. Lost most of his good wide receivers. You're going to see a lot of power formations in this game from both sides. Arizona comes in with a whole new identity, new head coach who wants to run the ball, take time off the clock. He has a quarterback transfer from South Florida that isn't very good, honestly. I don't think that he's ever completed a pass more than 10 yards from what I remember. And I just see this as, you know, Arizona is going to try and kill the clock in this game and try and make it much closer if they have any kind of sense of trying to win this game. And on the other side, you have BYU that's kind of lacking offensive firepower, but still has a tremendously oversized defense. You know, you're not going to be able to run the ball on them very well. I don't see a lot of successful drives. And also, you're going to have a problem with explosive plays. You're probably not going to see a lot of 80-yard runs and stuff like that in this game. Arizona is kind of misleading because they gave up. They just quit at the end of last year. So there's some value in unders to be played with them as well, I have a feeling. They gave up, I don't know, 700 yards of rushing in their last game last year in like a 75-10 loss. You know, you can use last year's stats towards this year when you have new coaches. So that's exactly what I'm looking for. I like the under in this game quite a lot.
General question on this week's card. I think more sharp money is going on unders than overs. Did you bet more unders than overs?
I think I'm pretty even matched. I don't know. I would have to look at it. Actually, I have it right here in front of me. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 unders and 6 overs. So I guess, I mean, you know, just a little bit.
Too close to call.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say I'm heavy on. I'm never really heavy one side. You know, I just make the numbers and bet the numbers. I don't ever think.
You know, I'm just questioning whether the airlines might have been too high, but I guess you don't see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't, I'm not ever cognizant of whether or not I have more overs and unders, you know, probably until the day of the game. And then chasing, I say, oh my God, why do I have all overs?
Chasing the screen, I kind of found that I was betting a lot more unders.
Oh yeah, I see. Okay.
We'll see how that goes. Game four.
Game four is Nevada at California, 217, directly under BYU in Arizona. I like the Wolfpack in this game at +3.5. You're going to get a 3.5 if it's not there yet. I think what's going on here is a lot of A lot of sharps and a lot of groups are wanting to play home teams because this is the first time that home field advantage is really coming into play in the last couple of years. It is an angle that I think everybody's kind of thought about. Your home field advantage is probably a little bit higher than it was in normal years after last year. But I like this Nevada team just a ton. They have an NFL quarterback, two NFL wide receivers, really, really strong defense. I like California. I like their coach, but I think that this is a very even matched game. I made this pick, and I pounced on 3.5, and I was surprised that it only went down to 3, and now you're getting money on California. You can still get 3.5 at Circa. You're going to get 3.5 by game day. All the signs point to Nevada for me in this game. California, very, very strong defense, but very mediocre offense. And that's fine. That's what their coach has kind of always wanted from them. He's a defensive minded coach. He plays very slow, methodical, and keeps his defense, right in front at all times, tries to shorten the game. I think that this Nevada team just has more talent currently. And I can't really see why this game is above 3. So if you can get 3, 3 is fine. You have push equity, especially at 05, but 3.5 is a very good play for me.
It's interesting. That's another game Circa hasn't gone to the move that you would anticipate them getting play, because they take a little higher than a lot of other places that have 3.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, like I said, they're
that, I'm not saying sharp. That's a caution, or, it's not a Will Rogers caution thing on
sure.
Boston space, but is it Will Rogers? No. Careful, Will. Warning. Anyway, now that I've messed up the podcast, we'll do game 5.
You're fine. Okay, game 5 is going to be the write-in game, 228 Oklahoma. I'm going to lay 31 here. I had this number at 29 when they were playing at Tulane. This is an awful matchup on every single level for Tulane, who's a run-first team, kind of runs an RPO option kind of system. Also, I have to question where their head is at. This was supposed to be a game for Tulane at home. The Hurricane messed that up, and now they're playing at Oklahoma in front of a raucous crowd of about 100,000 or whatever the hell it is. And Oklahoma has a Heisman quarterback. They have absolutely everything on offense. And what people don't realize is their defense is absolutely stacked this year. I mean, this defense is ridiculous. They've made a huge leap the last 2 years. Now they bring absolutely everybody back with a bunch of super seniors. This is like an NFL team against a decent college football team for sure. But Tulane has everything working against them in this game. And I really don't have any understanding of how they're going to stay in this game, if they even care to stay in this game. This might be just a kneel spot for Tulane. I mean, they probably just want to get home, and they're probably worried about their families. New Orleans is flooded. Half of the entire city was out of power the last 2 days. They've been misplaced in Birmingham for the last 3 or 4 days, I think. I can't really see them staying in this game whatsoever. And this is kind of falls into a category that I think a lot of people haven't really thought about. But with players being able to get paid through sponsorships this year, this is a very, very big deal for Heisman candidates. You're going to see a lot of running up scores at some of these major universities with quarterbacks that are in the Heisman race. The Heisman used to be something where if you won the Heisman, it was a big acclaim and it probably helped your NFL stock. Nowadays, winning the Heisman is probably worth $3 or $4 million to these kids. And we know that Oklahoma's Lincoln Riley, the head coach, is desperate to get Heisman quarterbacks because, as we're seeing, if you get 2, you get 3, and then you get a 5-star quarterback that is all about trying to get the Heisman. He's going to put up stats in this kind of game. I see this being an absolute blowout. I don't know how Tulane scores whatsoever. From a totals perspective, I actually think that the under might be a good play as well. This could be a 56-0 kind of game, something like that. But nonetheless, I'm worried about playing an under in a game where a kid is trying to, pass for 5 touchdowns and run for another 2 and stuff like that. So I'm laying the big number, but I actually make this 35. So 31.5 is fine by me.
Sounds good. I'm not a first half bet because you think they'll be going full.
Yeah, you can do first half there as well.
What is the number in the first half?
I don't know. Let me look at it really quick. It will take me 2 seconds. I just have to close a bunch of tennis scores, which I don't bet, but I don't know how to get rid of them. So maybe you can help me with that sometime. They don't have a first half up yet. They just reposted this line today. So okay.
As soon as I end this podcast, which I'm doing in about 13 seconds, I am going to make that play because I have
it. Okay.
So if you see the line move a little, that's because I hit it. Thanks, Eddie, right. So much. We're going to talk more with you next week. Get a little bit about your background, talk about our relationship. But right now, due to technical issues, I have to keep this under 30 minutes. And I think we did a good job in doing that.
All right. Cool. Thank you, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
I hope Hazel's well.
Thank you very much. We'll talk more about your dog next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, Eddie.